This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. It's just about 7:10. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we have tickets for you to see Train and the Goo Goo Dolls June 15th at the Shoreline Amphitheater. The tickets go on sale this Friday, and there are chances to win with us and with Jane. So 8 o'clock is your first chance to win those. I'm going to jump right in. We're going to do the Billboard Hot 100 because we have a movie review coming moment here.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So let's start with number 100. These are the top 100 songs in the country at this moment. Metro Boomin, who had the number one album this week, Out of the Blue. This one is featuring Travis Scott and Young Thug. Up to Something is what it's called. All right, heard enough of that one. Skipping up to number 10.
Sheesh.
I mean, come on. Listen, you're going to hear it four more times. Don't worry. As in the next 10 songs. Number 10 is Drip Too Hard, a song by Lil Baby and Gunna. At number 9 is Sheck Wes with a song called Mo Bamba. See, I told you. Oh my God, there's no Drake in here. This is great news, everyone.
That song is terrible.
Oh, you think?
That one right there, yeah.
I'm sorry, could you tell me three differences between this song and the other two songs we've played so far?
It sounds like he's out of tune to me.
Oh, that's great. That's my favorite one so far. Kodak Black featuring Travis Scott and Offset, ZZ, at number 8. Coming in at number 7 is Post Malone, Better Now, Better Now. That's the closest thing we've heard to a song so far. Halsey has the number 6 spot, Without Me, it's called. We like Halsey.
Mm-hmm.
She was good with Lil Wayne on SNL.
That's a good one. Number 5 is Juice WRLD, Lucid Dreams. Number 4 is Marshmello and Bastille, Happier. Number 3 is Travis Scott, Sicko Mode. Oh, goodness. And, oh my God, first time it hasn't been in first place in, like, I don't know, 8 weeks. Maroon 5 featuring Cardi B has fallen to number 2. Guys like me to sundown. And your brand new number 1 and her first number 1 song.
Oh.
All right.
It's Ariana Grande. Thank you. Next.
That's her first number one?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here.
Isn't that crazy?
What about Problem with Iggy Azalea?
Nope.
Get out of here.
Maybe they're saying solo record.
All right.
Was that a Iggy Azalea song? I don't know if
it's on. It's on Ariana Grande's album.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
An Ariana song.
Well, then it didn't
AD.
Hit number one. They're saying basically this is her 35th Hot 100 entry, 11 of which have now reached the top 10. Here it is. Prior to this song, Thank You Next, her highest charting single was Problem, featuring Iggy Azalea, which peaked at number 2 in 2014.
This was everywhere.
I love this tune. Got one less problem without you.
Well, good for her.
So in that song, in case this is the first time you're hearing it for some reason, she talks about the impact of her past relationships and the things that she learned. Big Sean is called up by name, Pete Davidson, Ricky Alvarez, and the late Mac Miller. Then debuted at number 1 on the Hot 100, becoming her first song to top the American chart in her 7-year career. So congratulations, Ariana Grande, you beautiful little thing, you.
So something came out of all this pain, huh?
All of it, yeah. She got a number one out of it. All right, guys, I'm going to turn things over to you.
Do you want to do your Vigo story or no? You just want to jump right in?
No.
All right.
I feel like we talked about that. Vigo was doing a press conference and used the N-word in the whole room. I believe you said the phrase was, all the air got sucked out of the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just found out, like, something that the rest of us knew.
Right.
The white people cannot say the N-word.
And there it is.
The end.
So right. Since this is a very short review, we'll have a short intro.
All right.
Kind of the same intro, but a faster version of it. Had to leave this part in, though.
Yeah, this is the best part.
Jesus.
All right.
Oh,
here we
God.
Go.
Oh, my God. You're a jerk.
You're Bryn. A jerk.
Oh, thank I you. Knew it. Bryn. All right. So this movie opens wide November 21st, The Green Book. It stars Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali. It's directed by Peter Farrelly, who did Dumb and Dumber. But this movie actually is going to open in 20 cities this Friday.
Oh.
And two of the 20 cities are Oakland and Redwood City.
Oh, oh yeah.
That's your hood.
You leave it. Redwood
City. My neighbor.
Awesome.
So this, I have to give you an in-depth explanation of the plot so you understand what this film is about.
Okay.
All right. So the story is about this guy named Don Shirley. Got some of his music. This guy's a jazz and classical pianist.
I sure do hear some of it right here.
So this is a true story.
This is a true story. This is Don Shirley's music. And Don was...
Go ahead.
He was a big deal in New York. But Don felt the desire to tour in the 60s, roughly around 1962, 1963.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you were black, in the 60s there were a lot of restrictions, especially in the South. And in the South is where Don wanted to tour. Okay? You with me so far?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, that's a brief overview of Don. In this film, Mahershala Ali, who plays Don Shirley, needs to hire a driver. And he knows he can't just hire a driver. He needs to hire, like, the Ray Donovan of drivers. Someone who could talk his way out of any situation. So enter Viggo Mortensen. And he plays an Italian mafioso guy named Tony Lip. He's a
hey,
real guy.
Tony. So this is really his driver. This is a true story.
This is a true story.
A real so interaction.
He basically right. hires the Ray Donovan of drivers.
All right.
So now you understand who Mahershala
U-turns
was, and Viggo.
Yeah.
But why is this movie called The Green Book? So white people, for the most part, don't know this. Black people, like Vaughn was telling me, everyone he grew up with knew what The Green Book was.
What's The Green Book?
So from 1936 to 1964, there was an actual book called The Green Book. It has a more inappropriate name, but we're just going to call it that. And
oh, really?
I'll yeah.
Look that up.
A postal worker named Victor Green, published this book for blacks and African Americans to avoid social obstacles so they could know what restaurants they were allowed to eat at.
Oh, almost what, like how, a green light book.
I don't know what that
like,
means.
Like, you know, here's a green light. You can go to this
right.
restaurant.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
is what you can and can't do.
Okay.
What restaurants you could eat at, what hotels you could stay at, driving tips, places of interest where blacks were welcome. Mm. So Viggo had to use this book when he chauffeured Don Shirley. So Viggo often is staying in a nice four-star hotel, and Don is at the, you know.
Motel. Some,
yeah,
motel,
the motel.
Motel.
Holiday Inn, yeah. Exactly. All right. So, Bryn, what was our mindset when we walked into this movie, opening night of the Mill Valley Film Festival?
Well, first of all, we like Mahershala a lot. And so I had no idea, no clue as to what The Green Book was. And I was like, okay, sure, we'll go and support. We'll walk in there and maybe we'll stay for, I don't know, half, a quarter, depending, because it was
15 minutes.
Was it a Thursday night, I think it was? And
we really just wanted another picture with Mahershala.
We wanted to hang out with Mahershala. Say what's up, take a picture.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. Remind him of the people who knew him when. Got
yes.
us.
Yes.
Yeah, within the first 10 minutes.
I'm with you, Vinny.
Hooman was freaking out like, dude, this is so awesome. And, the music was just like on point. It throws you back to the 60s, all the cars or the whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
They made it like really, legit as far as authenticity.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was really, it gave you a good vibe, good feel.
So the opening scene is Viggo running this club that's basically owned by the mafia, and a brawl breaks out and the music's playing and you're like, oh, the costumes, the lighting, the vibe, the energy.
Tony Lip.
Tony
hey,
Lip.
Tony. Yeah.
Okay, so why was this film compelling? Why? Like, what was your overall thought? Was there a scene? Was there a moment? Why did you like this movie?
Racism is a trip, you know what I mean? Because we grew up in the modern day, and so especially in San Francisco, we don't experience it as much. And as you're going through this movie and watching...
But you kind of did when in your younger days because you grew up in an area where there wasn't people like you.
That's true. Right. But going to school, they were still encouraging that everybody is equal and all that stuff. Back then, it was a fine, a straight up a line. Like, this is what you can't do because you're black. Mm-hmm. The scene that sticks out to me was, you know, when they had to go and call Tony Lip because Mahershala was getting attacked in this bar. And it stood out to me because in this movie, Tony Lip starts off as a kind of a racist dude because that was the norm. Like, he didn't want to have anything to do with black people at all, but he got this job, and really the job was just a job. And he started to grow onto him and establish a relationship and started to really understood and learned that this guy is a human being. And and not only that,
and he's
a genius, a musical genius. And so he finally had some compassion, and you felt the love between the two of them. And when he stood up for him, I was like, oh, wow, you can really feel that. And, you know, now I have to stick through the whole movie and watch the whole thing and leave at 10 p.m.
So that's it.
Is that the night that you came to my house afterwards?
It was the night
I
came to your house,
yeah,
yes.
I remember. Uh-huh.
So on our way out, Mahershala is standing in the hallway, and he looks at us, and Peter Farrelly looks at us, and they go, are you really leaving before the Q&A? And I looked at them, and I go, we have to wake up at 3:20 a.m. to talk about this film. They gave us a hug, and they're like, all right. Thanks for
fine, you make it. We'll let you go.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Did you cry?
So to sum it all up, let me just say this. I love this film. I cried three times.
Like, that's not
in the
answer.
Film.
Okay. Yeah, I would bet
so
that you
I would
did.
Cry 10 times.
Oh, my goodness.
I was getting teared up watching the trailer that I saw before the Queen movie last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is my kind of movie.
I hate to say it, but the only thing that makes, because the hate in these types of films, it's almost unwatchable. The hate and the some of the realities behind it.
But it's a good reminder of how far we've
come.
For sure,
it is. But sometimes the thing that makes it palatable and then the thing that just pulls your stupid heart right out of your chest is when you see bonds between a white person and a black person despite the hate swirling around them. And the fact that a black person can even trust a white person enough to have some love or some kind of friendship for that person.
Right.
It's tough to watch. I imagine you did cry a lot. I know I would.
Oh, man. We really did. I'm sure Viggo will get an Oscar nomination, and Vinny just nailed it. You got two completely different guys from two different worlds coming together, like, not looking at your differences, looking at what you have in common. I mean, this is an idea that's completely lost in 2018 between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Right. Find what you have in common.
Find what you have
don't
in common.
Need to fight about everything.
And the entire premise, I think, was the fact that Don Shirley, like, overcame all that and was like, I'm going to trust these people. He didn't have to go on tour. He was already successful, and he didn't need the money. He was doing it as, I don't know, kind of a for respect or something. I'm not sure what it was, but he took the high road and, you know, did all this stuff, even though he didn't need to.
Yeah. He was already super loaded.
Something more to that.
So, it's so the best thing about this film is it comes out November 21st, and it's a Christmas movie because there's Christmas in the movie. So if you want a great holiday film, check this out. I think it's great. I'm going to give it 4.5 Persians.
I'm going to give it 5. I was going to give it 4.5, but I'm going with the Ruby thing. No fractions. I'll give it 5.
It's perfect.
I was going between 4 and 5, so I'm going 5.
Yeah, let's round that up.
Yeah, just round it up to 5.
And so you're saying that opens limited this week. And
Redwood City.
Yeah. And Oakland.
Oakland.
Next week it's going
wide.
Okay. And it's going, that's on Wednesday. Is that when the opening is all this next week? All those movies are opening on Wednesday?
Oh, well, this one says specific. Yeah, you're exactly right. The 21st.
Right.
That's right. Wednesday the 21st.
A lot of people go see movies on the Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh,
it's
totally,
usually a pretty big movie weekend. All right, well, good luck to it. I hope it does well.
And tomorrow, everyone, we're reviewing Harry Potter.
Oh.
Two reviews in 1 week.
Right. Welcome, Bay Area.
Well, and the Johns are coming in. I told John the turnaround on the song is really fast. I was telling him, like, you should pre-write some of this song. I mean, it is Hooman's birthday. They're doing it only because it's Hooman's birthday.
Oh,
so
right.
So it's like a whole thing.
Big deal.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with the news. What's coming up, Vinny?
I don't know.
All right.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Why'd you do that? You're so funny. I was like waiting for the song to end, and it just kept on going.
Right?
It's Alice.
I was just beat matching.
Showing off your mad skills. Bryn, everyone. Mad skills. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Alice in Winterland is officially sold out, but don't worry, we have lots of chances for you to win. Keep it right here at Alice. We actually are doing tickets and turkeys this week, too, which is really fun because you get a Thanksgiving dinner out of it from Safeway.
Safeway.
Plus tickets to the big show. So keep listening. 9, 11, 1, 3, and 5, you'll have chances to win.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by the Bay Club, where every day is a getaway. Learn more and plan your visit at bayclubhappy.com. I continue to check the Cal Fire Twitter page for an update on the campfire and still haven't gotten one. So that the latest was like 11 hours, 12 hours ago or something. So as soon as that updates, I'll do another report on the fire situation. This was something, as I was looking at the San Francisco Chronicle, that I thought was important to follow up on. You know, San Francisco's newly built or opened, I should say, $2.2 billion Transbay Transit Center that opened in, I believe it was September, and then closed.
A week later.
Right. Because there were cracks found in two big support I-beams.
Right over the street.
Right. Exactly right. So they've been, it's still closed, by the way. So that was one of the things that I went, as I'm reading the story, I'm like, wait a minute. They're not saying if this thing's opened back up yet again. So I asked Yuzi, she's like, no, that's closed. That thing's closed. So that $2.2 billion Transbay Transit Center, as they...
That's horrifying. And they had just finally gotten all the construction crap out of the way there.
Well,
and
if you remember when the East Bay Bridge opened and then they went, oh my God, some bolts are cracking.
Yep.
It's very much like that. Here's a huge project that cost a ton of money.
And then when people actually start using it.
Mm-hmm. And forget about, okay, don't forget about the money, but also the inconvenience to everyone who's had to
work their way through the construction zone for years on end.
Years and years. Mm-hmm. So anyway, back to... It just reminds people of the bridge as this thing opened up and then was quickly closed down. So they say here, the buildings, as they've had people in to take a look at this, investigators, the building's overall design does not appear to be an issue, which is very good news for the transit hub as, you know...
Yes.
You don't want to have to tear stuff down and start over. The design flaw, they say, might have a design flaw might have meant the I-beams would have had to be pulled out, which would, again, have closed down that street and caused all kinds of issues. There's zero evidence of that being a problem, according to a structural engineer professor who came in to check things. It seems a very fine design, according to this engineer. I don't know if they paid him to say that or not. I hope that's not the case.
It's a very fine design.
But they're now looking into the best ways to fix this and the fastest way to get this thing opened up. So they've got these engineers presenting, it looks like, five different ideas on how to fix it. And then they'll choose one and get it going again. Obviously, a $2.2 billion price tag causes people a lot of problems with this.
It's alarming.
They say, I think it was last week. What's today? Today's the 14th. November 8th marked the 44th day it had been closed, which is the same amount of time that it had been open.
Oh,
crunch.
And they're doing test results, they're saying, are supposed to come back later this month.
So they say here, while options for fixing the cracked beams appear to be limited, Transit Authority spokeswoman Christine Falvey says staff designers have been asked to come up with five different repair scenarios and be ready to go quickly when they pick one. So
that's good.
That's the latest on our $2.2 billion transit center, everyone. Congratulations are due for Oakland Athletics manager Bob Melvin, who was named one of MLB's Managers of the Year. He's won that two times before, once with the A's in 2012 and in 2007 with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So he's pretty good. Congratulations.
What do they base that on? Like, what's so great about this guy?
Let me see here. The Athletics had a 22-win improvement from 2017 to 2018 and had a chance at going into the playoffs deeper than they did.
Right.
Of course, we know that didn't end up being the case, but still improved the team greatly.
And that's what it's
and
about.
Well, yeah, and giving an area hope that maybe, you know, things are going to get better around here. Be nice to see the A's do some stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Be nice if they ever got to open up that upper deck.
That's not going to happen, Sarah. Don't be ridiculous.
Sorry, my bad.
So your wedding day.
Yes.
It's, some say it's the greatest day of your life.
Yeah.
John.
John and I have great effing days all the time. Like, I liked my wedding day, and, you know, but there's a lot of stress that goes into it. This is huge planning, and it's like one of those things, you know, when you plan for tons and tons of time and you put so much effort, and then it's over in a flash.
Right.
You hardly remember any of it. You know, as the bride, you're not enjoying it. You're just talking to everyone and going table to table, and there's a lot of pressure on you and someone following you around, like trying to fix your hair, and I'm like, When do I get to take this stupid dress off?
If you knew what you know now, or however they say that,
would you
do City Hall?
You know, we actually didn't go big. You know, we had a ceremony on the town square with a justice of the peace, and we just went to, like, sort of a party hall. But, you know, my mom did a lot of the planning, so it went smoothly, and it was not the most expensive wedding. But to do it again, I swear to God, I would JP it in my own backyard and throw and have some taco trucks.
JP?
Justice of the Peace.
Oh, okay.
Just, you know, someone who's or some online person to marry me legally, whatever.
Brandon and I look at each other. I don't know, Holmes.
Well, that,
I would just not spend that kind of money on it because it was, you know, we could have used that money for many, many other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, but I don't want to deny someone who wants to be have a princess day that either. It just was never my thing.
So this
dresses have never been my thing.
One of my issues with it leads me to my next story, which is if you've ever got a day that can be completely ruined by a single thing going wrong, then you've put too much into that day.
Right.
Like that is ridiculous.
Say that again, that first part.
If you ever have a day in your life where a single piece of the event going wrong ruins the
elaborate
magic
plan,
then you've put too much on that day. That's just ridiculous. Like, oh no, might it rain? Could the wind pick up? Yeah.
Yeah,
those things can happen.
And we do live on a planet where
shouldn't be the end of the world.
Right.
In this case, Christine Chandler was the wind and the rain.
Aww.
She's 46. She's from Treasure Island, Florida, and on Sunday night around 10 o'clock, she went into a Lions club where there was a wedding going on.
All right.
She headed straight for the dance floor.
Oh. So she was crashing.
She's not invited, no.
Oh.
Unfortunately, the bride and groom were having their last dance at the moment.
The last dance? Oh, the goodbye dance before they take off for the
honeymoon. I guess so. And Christine tried to cut in.
Oh. That is an example of a person not having a good read on a situation.
Right. Other guests.
Can I make a wild guess here? Has Christine been drinking earlier in the night?
It does appear to be the case, but I don't have that specifically. She wasn't arrested for drunk and disorderly, just disorderly conduct.
Oh.
That's right. She was arrested as the rest of the wedding party yelled at her to leave and escorted her out. She wound up coming back in and headed straight back for the dance floor. They finally had to call the cops and have her hauled out.
I will say that what you do want for your wedding is a couple of great stories. You want to have
Christine?
Like, everything went smoothly the whole day. And then there at the very end, there's something for everyone to talk about. Like, if everything goes perfectly, then it's like, yeah, it was a nice wedding. The end. What do you want to know? Yes, they cut the cake like they do it all. Yes,
well,
they threw the bouquet.
What went wrong at your wedding?
There were a few things that went wrong at my wedding, actually. I don't want to call anybody out by name, but my cousin Stephanie's ex-husband made quite a ruckus and got the open bar shut down.
That's Christine.
Oh, she's a nice-looking lady. Beautiful eyes. There
let me have a look at that.
Maybe a little too sun-kissed.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
A little
Sunscreen. Tan.
You know, though, don't make fun of her. She has this, her face looks like my face, like all kind of ruddy and, you know.
I don't think she's a bad looking lady.
No, she's not bad looking. She just has that like, I've been squinting a lot look on her face.
She's been trying to focus all that day.
Great hair.
This next report, it is great.
Yeah. She's
wait,
pretty.
Vinny, can we ask what did cousin Stephanie's husband do?
Oh, he's the guy that like has his clothes half off at your wedding.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
Yeah, basically. And he's got like the wife beater with like a beer stain going down the front of it. And the bar finally went, we can't serve this guy anymore. Uh-huh. Drinks. We're going to have to close the open bar. And I'm like, oh.
That's one of the stories?
Yeah.
Cousin Stephanie's husband, Frank.
I can't even think of his name now. He's been gone a long time.
Oh, she left him.
Oh, yeah. They broke up. There was a whole, I don't want to tell all her. So these are her stories, but there's there was a situation where there was a girlfriend living at their house.
Oh.
Like, what?
No, his girlfriend lived at their house with them?
Mm-hmm.
Was she, was
I
it
don't
a,
wanna, I shouldn't, I shouldn't
was it a threesome?
No, it was not. There. It was fully not that.
Wait a minute. So did she not know that they were, that
it seemed
she was
like
sleeping
it was,
with
you know,
the,
at first it was,
the roommate.
Oh, this person who's down on their luck is going to be staying with us. And Stephanie didn't really have an option. His name's Chris. I just remembered it.
Chris.
I know.
Why you?
How could you?
There was a whole, that's a story for another day. Maybe if
how about this secret show today?
I don't want to tell.
Oh, yeah, we're doing the podcast
I don't
want to
tell
today.
It. Someday, if my cousin comes and visits me in town, we'll have her on. She can tell her own story. I don't want to. I don't know all the details.
No, that's fine.
I love it.
I respect that.
I don't know if she'll want to tell
it. I think we already
know. She's very, you know, Jesus-y. Hooman would love her.
Oh, well, then she'll forgive you for screwing up and telling her whole story on the air. You didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
You thought she'd love it.
Oh, yeah, I thought you'd love
lesson
it, Stephanie.
Lesson learned. You're teaching us people.
This Thanks, is one Steph. Of those stories. Well, I'll tell you the headline. Best cities to live in on a $55,000 salary.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Now, my problem with this, because
is that $55,000 used to be a decent salary? Yes.
Well,
that's mine
there's
too.
That, but certainly, you know, that's things have changed. We used to think that $1 million made you rich, and now that's not even close to rich. Certainly not in the Bay Area.
Right.
That's not rich.
Maybe in Atlanta.
Maybe. Maybe.
Actually, probably not even in Atlanta.
But you used
to
think $1 million means I'm quitting my job and I'm set for life.
Right. And it was that.
Right. Well, not anymore.
So I hear.
One of my issues with this, though, the $55,000, the best city to live in on $55,000 is, as they show you the cities, you realize making that much in those cities is next to impossible.
Right, that's the problem.
So you might be able to make $55,000 in the Bay Area, which you can't live on, but you wouldn't get paid for the same work that much moving to
Flint, Michigan.
Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh.
Billings, Montana. Finding a job at Billings that pays $55,000 a lot more difficult.
Right, so your commute time is going to be pretty far.
I don't want anyone to be misled by this. It's one of those things, as we are radio DJs, each market we've tried to apply to, you look at and go, what do I need to live?
Right. What's the cost of living?
Right.
What is the general salary range?
Looking at the Bay Area, you go, oh.
Yeah, I'm going to need to make some money if I'm going to live there.
Money.
So anyway, you can look this list up and maybe there's a possibility your current job will transfer to Cheektowaga, New York.
Where?
Cheektowaga.
Mm.
That's it. Cheektowaga. Sorry. It's cracked the top 10 and I'm not sure I'm saying it right. Lincoln, Nebraska is in the top 10. Little Rock, Arkansas. Boise, Idaho. Omaha, Nebraska also on the list.
These are great places to live on a $55,000
if you
a
can
year.
Make that much money right. In those towns, you'll be styling.
Mm.
Profiling.
So that list is out there on the internet. I hope you can do it.
Yeah. Fargo.
Cheektowaga. That's the pronunciation.
It is.
You got it right.
All right.
Fargo is
number one.
Fargo is a great city, according to a friend of mine who's gone to a couple. They have like a, I don't know what it's called, like a weird festival or a nerd festival or the Fargo Freak Festival. but she's gone a couple times and she was like, I would if it wasn't for winter, I would absolutely live in Fargo. Like, she loves it there.
Yeah, they rank it very highly. It's number one on the list, as they say. It's actually a great place to live. And if you get a job there, that usually you get to keep it. Mm. It scores well in livability metrics as well. One of the things I think about Fargo is, isn't it near Minneapolis? So you do have a fairly big city nearby.
I don't know where exactly it is.
Well, Fargo's remember the
in
movie
North Dakota?
Yeah. But in the movie Fargo, there was like
they
some
went to
nearby. There was, I don't know if it was Minneapolis or I don't know what the big city nearby is, right. But there's one nearby that when you live in a small town, sometimes you just want to go someplace where there's some action,
something happening,
right? Or maybe it's that some place that you can go shopping and not just buy the one thing that's on offer,
right? Oh, look, more work pants and work shirts and work boots
you
and work gloves.
You know what I mean, right. So,
and trucker caps.
When I lived in Eugene, I for sure made drives up to Portland every now and then just to get a little energy vibe. Mm. Our text number is 800-400-3697. What was the great movie I missed the title, says 650?
Green Book.
Correct.
Green Book is the movie that was, we did a sort of a spontaneous review at 7 o'clock.
510 said, wait, what? Is it Wednesday or Thursday? I'm so confused.
It's Wednesday, and we're doing a double week.
it's not
Thursday. Don't confuse me. It's hump day. It's hump day.
Oh, geez, Sarah.
Why not?
650
Why
says, ciao from Florence, Italy.
Oh, ciao.
They shut a lot of the restaurants and stores from 2 to 5, so we decided to walk the streets and listen to Sarah and Vinny. You guys sound great from here.
Oh, yay. How fun. Thank you for listening. Ciao.
Ciao.
God, I gotta go to Italy.
Four
so
and five
many places I gotta go.
Yeah, you do.
Sarah, name the book again, please.
Oh, Oryx and Crake. O-R-Y-X and C-R-A-K-E. Oryx and Crake by Margaret Atwood, who wrote The Handmaid's Tale. She's actually written she's a prolific writer, and she's really kind of a doomsdayer. I like her.
Nah.
I like her a lot.
What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
I'm going to start with Game of Thrones.
Yeah!
It's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.